you know that today. I hope you don't just know it mentally. I hope you know it in the depths of your soul how much God loves you. Amen. You may be seated. So thankful you're here today. Treva and I are very, very glad to be back. We are lovingly calling our vacation the vacation from hell. So we went to Hilton Head to spend a week with our lovely children and grandchildren, of whom one came in with a GI track thing going on, and one by one that little creature picked us off. I'm telling you. You know, me being the cheapskate, I couldn't stand to, yeah, Treva never got sick, but me being the cheapskate, I kept seeing all these bottles of water, like three-fourths of the way full, you know, and I'm thinking, man, these kids are wasting all this water. So I start opening their glasses and pouring it into my cup. I forgot. You know, it's been a while since we had little kids. I forgot about all the backwash that they have. About Wednesday, I went to my bedroom and I stayed there till Thursday. It was not fun. Amen. But we did have a wonderful time, really wonderful time. So good to know that you can leave. Brother Bobby told me, he said, man, he said, Ray brought it last week, and we actually watched you online. So we were with you. And it was a great, great message. We got a couple of phone calls or a couple of, messages this week, and some of you won't know, this person, but, Ricky Hilliard, messaged me, and some, like I said, some of you are not going to know, but his mother, Mary Rodriguez, Johnson, that was Ozzy's wife. They came to church in 2012 to about 2014 here, suddenly passed away this week. And I tell you that to say, be praying for that family. Still a lot of kids and stuff like that. And, he told me, he said, Mom didn't go to church anymore. He said, but she watched you every week online. And so she was one of our online watchers. And it's amazing. You know, we can't really keep up with who's watching us anymore. But I'm going to tell you, a lot of people, we're running into people. I ran into a guy that came to church here a couple weeks ago, and he said, we've been watching you for 3 years, and we're thinking about moving to Paris, and so we've been watching you for 3 years. So bless God, our congregation is bigger than what you think. So also Courtney Walker, his dad went to the hospital maybe late last week, early this week, and he passed away yesterday. Mr. Walker was about 96, 97, somewhere through there, but had been healthy all of his life. But his body finally said, I'm tired and I'm ready to go home. And he was a believer. He knew Jesus, so we know where he's at. Amen. You know, a long time ago when I was preaching a funeral, the Lord told me, spoke to me, he said, don't use the word lost. Don't say that they lost somebody. Because if it's a believer, you hadn't lost nothing. To lose something is to not know where it's at. But a believer in Christ, we absolutely know where they're at, right? Amen. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen. We want to welcome our guests here today. I know there are some faces that I have not seen before, and we have a gift for you at the coffee bar. And if you'd like to share it with us, we would be happy to share it with you. We have Street Reach this Saturday at 1 o'clock, and that's really the only announcements. The other announcement was, because we do have people watching us online, I want to say welcome to those online. This really looks strange, so this doesn't happen much.
I need to share something if I can.
Okay.
I don't know how many know Joe Palaike.
Joe and Elizabeth.
I just had to share this with some good news. Joe Palaike, who sits over here, he rides a motorcycle. How old would Joe be?
In his 70s.
70s. He was driving his motorcycle from Camden, 40 miles an hour, and a car pulled out in front of him Friday. Joe walked away with a couple of bruises on his shoulder.
Amen.
I just had to share that.
Amen. Appreciate that. Amen. Appreciate hearing that. That's wonderful. Okay, so I want to talk to you today. Actually, let's rephrase that. I think the Lord wants to talk to you today. I'm from the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 14 through 17. And I know without a shadow of a doubt that the Lord gave me this sermon. And I titled this, Answering the Call of God. Answering the Call of God. Now, I'm going to ask you to write in your Bible a little bit. And so get you a pen if you have one. And if you have a Bible that you can't write in, put that on the shelf and get you a Bible that you can write on. Because you need to record some things. Oh, I was going to tell you, we have a person that's first time ever to church. Is that not amazing? Amen. Would you like to stand and show us? Is it Waylon? Look at there. Oh, he's got his eyes open. And that's Waylon. Waylon. Amen. That makes Randall and Heather grandparents for the first time, right? And it makes Johnny and Cindy great grandparents. You would never guess them to be 80 years old, but they're answering the call of God. In Romans chapter 10, verse 14 through 17, I want you to circle the word they. Would you circle the word they as we read this? How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who brings great tidings or good tidings, I'm sorry, glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Father, we just come before you today. Lord, I love church. I love getting together with people of like precious faith and to feel the Spirit of God moving in our midst. Lord, there is no place like this on earth. And so, Father, we say thank you for being here. I pray, God, that you would continue to minister. I pray, God, that you would continue to heal the sick. I pray, Lord, that you would raise up the lame, God. I pray, Lord, that you'd restore minds and emotional health today. I pray, Lord, that people that do not know you would know you today. And they would, Lord, surrender their heart to you. And I pray, God, that the message that you have laced on my heart, that you would give me clarity, Lord. And I wouldn't pray for brevity, but they would. So brevity too, God, that I can speak the message that you have spoken to my heart and that their hearts would be ready to receive this message today by your Spirit. Now take the word and water it, Lord, with your Spirit, and may it produce fruit in our hearts. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. For you are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' precious name, we pray. Amen. So you have to ask yourself, who are they? Who are they? You're rubbing shoulders with they all day long. Right? You may be living with they. You're going to school with they. You're going to work with they. Who's he talking about? He's talking about people who had not heard the gospel, have not surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, how can they do that unless you tell them? And then the last verse there, I just included that because I get so sick of hearing this verse taken out of context. You see, the word of faith movement and the prosperity preachers have taken, now faith is, you know, what's it say? Let me read it one more time. So then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Keep it in context. What's it saying? It's saying they need to hear the word So faith will arise in their heart. So as you speak, the Bible says God has put within every person a measure of faith. So faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by you speaking of the love of Christ. Faith begins to arise in our hearts. Does faith affect us? Absolutely it does. So when you begin to share the gospel, when you talk about the things of God, no matter what you're talking about, faith begins to arise. Man, it gets excited. You ever been talking about Jesus to somebody? And all of a sudden you're just like I'm preaching, right? I mean, it just, that's that faith rising up in your heart. That's this verse. This verse is, I want to bring that faith alive. I want to create this faith in them. But how shall they do that unless you tell them? How beautiful are your feet? I have never seen a foot that I thought was pretty, right? But God says to those who take the gospel, even the ugliest part of your body is beautiful. Yeah, that's what I say. Come on, somebody. I think it's like this. God redeems the ugly and makes it beautiful when we're obedient to do what he's called us to do. Now I'm gonna teach you a little bit, some things today. And so, very first thing I want to tell you is God calls ordinary people to do extraordinary things. I think a lot of times people step back when they hear a sermon like this and they think, well, I didn't go to the right school. I didn't do this. I'm not this way. I'm not that way. I'm not outgoing enough. I'm not this enough. Stop it. God calls the ordinary. Amen. Are you ordinary? Some of you are beyond ordinary. Little extra. God calls us. You know, God calls some of us to the marketplace. I'll talk about that quite a bit. Each of us has a unique calling of, I didn't mess my words up there. Each of us has a unique calling. So one of the very first things I want to attack is a lie that's been brought to the church. And it's what I would call the clergy laity lie. I can remember when I was in college, I gave a speech about the Roman roads of Christ, how to get saved in my speech class, and didn't think a thing about it. But 10 years later, I was at a car dealership and the guy came up to me and he said, I didn't remember him from Adam and he remembered me. He said, you're a minister, aren't you? I said, no, no, no. I'm a Sunday school teacher. I'm a worship leader, but I'm not a minister. How stupid. Are you hearing me? I'm choosing my words cautiously. How stupid. You look at yourself and you say, I am a minister of the gospel of Christ. Would you say that with me? I am a minister of the gospel of Christ. And you are a minister. Amen. Jeremiah 29:11. We quote this a lot. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good, not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. God has a plan for you. In Ephesians chapter 2, he says, this is how the NLT says, God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. Aren't you thankful for that? If we could take credit for it, we would. It's a gift of God. Listen to this next line. Salvation is not a reward for the good things you have done. So none of us can boast about it. We are God's masterpiece. The highest creation is not a tree or a dog. It's man. And we'll throw women in there too. No, he has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do good things he has planned for us long time ago. He has created us anew. We're a new creation in Christ so that we can do the good things he's planned for us long ago. Does that sound like maybe God's got something for you to do? Yeah. Does that mean, no, let's not get ahead of myself. John 15, 16 says, you didn't choose me, I chose you. You didn't wake up one day and think, I think I need Jesus. No, Jesus, no man comes to the Father unless the Holy Spirit draws him. Amen. The Holy Ghost has been at work in your life long before you knew it. He's drawn you to Christ. And he says, I've appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that my Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. This is the commandment. Love each other. First, let's talk about the fivefold ministry of the church in Ephesians chapter 4. Now, I'm going to break every little bit. I always tell you to relate this to your left hand, right? So if you take your left hand out where you can see it, some of you got it covered. Okay, it says, now these are the gifts that Christ gave to the church. Apostle's the thumb, the apostle governs. The apostle is the only ministry that touches every other gift, every other calling, right? It's hard to take that ring finger and touch everything. I can touch the thumb, but I can't touch much anything else. Am I making sense? You see, there's a lot of people that says, well, this has passed away. Well, knock that nonsense off too. Let's not believe it if it's not in the Word. Okay? So God says, I gave these five things to the church. The apostle governs, the apostle starts a lot of things, right? And then I gave the prophet guides. I gave the evangelist, he gathers. I gave the pastor, the pastor's got his ring finger because he's married to the church. He guards. Whether you know it or not, the pastor guards over your life, guards over your soul. And then he gave the teacher, and the teacher grounds. He teaches you doctrine and grounds you. It says, this will continue until we all come for such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. So first thing is not everyone's called to the fivefold ministry. This is a specific calling. These calling, and he calls them gifts. Look at me. No, I'm teasing. These gifts are given to the church. These are gifts that God has placed in the church. Why? To equip you. But what have we taught for 200 years? Go, pastor, go. Go reach the lost, pastor. Go do this, pastor. Go do that, pastor. Go minister to the sick, pastor. Go do that. No, you've got it. Let's stick with the Word. What's the Word say? The fivefold ministry equip you to minister. So who should be visiting the sick? How many times have you looked at your pastor and say, did you go to the hospital? God called you to go to the hospital, lay your hands on the sick and watch them recover. Now, I am one of you also. I'm a sheep also. So should I go? Yes, I should. Yes, I should do the very things that I'm going to tell you to do. But these gifts are to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Why? So that you will know. Right? What to do. So specifically for people to get saved, to come into the knowledge of the Lord of Christ. He says, I hope you caught this line. These gifts will not stop until we come into the unity and the maturity of Christ. Is the church unified? We're a long way, and I'm not talking about Bridge of Hope. I'm saying the church, Baptist Church of Christ, Methodist, Presbyterians, Lutheran, are we unified? Then the fivefold is still operation. It's what the Word says. When we come into the unity, we won't need these things anymore. When will that day be? After we hear the trumpet of the Lord. Right? These gifts are not self-appointed, but they're God-called. And God's calling is not based on, or is based on his purpose and not worldly qualifications. You know, when I was about 14 years old, I was out in my driveway playing basketball. And I felt the Spirit of the Lord come to me and say, call me to preach. And I said, I wouldn't recommend this, by the way. I said, go away and come back when I'm 30 if you really mean this. Honestly, I didn't remember that conversation until when I was 30, he came back. I had been in a church that had a young pastor that it was not a good situation, and it just hurt me so desperately with it. When I felt like the Lord was calling me, I thought, no, don't do this to me, right? Because I don't want to hurt people. And so when I was 30 years old, we were living apart. I've told you this before. I've shared this testimony. But we were living apart. I was in Evansville opening up a store. The kids were in school. It was middle of the year. And as soon as school was out, that we were all going to move to Evansville. And I was alone in my apartment. I had no TV. I had no phone. I was just bare bones, just living up there by myself for a few months. And the Spirit of the Lord came to me one day, one night as I was there. And, I talked to the Lord all the time. I just, you know, if you can't talk to your wife and you don't have a TV, what do? You pray. So I was just talking to the Lord a lot. And the Lord came to me and he said, do you remember when you were 14 and I began to speak to you about the ministry? And I thought, it was the first time I had remembered that since that day. And all of a sudden, it was like I was living in that moment. And I thought, oh, yeah, this don't sound good. I said, yeah, I remember. And he said, guess how old you are? I said, I don't have to guess. I'm 30. And he said, will you answer my call? And I surrendered to the Lord to preach at that time, but I made a real distinction between preaching and pastoring. I want to tell you something. My 20s was very difficult. I hopped from job to job to job. And I believe with all my heart it's because I didn't answer the call when I was 14. See, I lived about 10 years doing it my way. I did it my way, and it was awful. It was rough, folks. When I was 30, the Lord sent me to Bible school. It's called Senior Citizens. He taught me how to be a pastor running the senior citizen. Not everything looks the same. I want you to catch that. You see, in our minds, we think, well, if God does this, then I got to go to Bible school and I got to do this and I got to, not necessarily. You follow the path that God puts you on. Amen. I'm telling you, running the Senior Citizen Center for 20 years was better than any Bible school you could go to. Taught me how to love people. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he says, not many of you were wise by human standards, and not many of you were influential. Not many were of noble birth, but God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. Don't think it's on your qualifications. Are you hearing me? The calling of God. The call of God is personal and usually unexpected. Moses was in the desert, going through the desert, and all of a sudden he saw a bush catch on fire and burn, and yet it wasn't being consumed. The Bible says he turned aside to look at that bush. And when he got close to that bush, all of a sudden the voice out of that bush come out. He said, Moses, take your shoes off. You're standing on holy ground. You see, Moses didn't understand what was happening. Moses wasn't seeking something out. God was seeking Moses. The call was personal. God knew Moses by name. And that is where he received his calling. Samuel was a little boy in the temple that Eli was raising, and ran to Eli and said, did you call me? And he said, no, go back to your bed, kid. So he runs back to this bed, and all of a sudden he hears his name again. He runs back to Eli, and I think he does it three times. On the third time, Eli, the man of God, finally wises up and says, next time you hear that voice, say, yes, Lord, I hear you speaking. What do you want? Basically. And so the next time Samuel went back, he heard the voice. He answered, here am I, right? Well, what do you say? And God called Samuel. Samuel wasn't expecting it. But the call was very personal. Saul was on the road to Damascus. He was headed over there to persecute Christians. And all of a sudden, what everybody else thought was thunder, Saul heard the voice of God out of the sky, right? Remember that? Bible says everybody else thought it was just thunder, but he heard God's voice. And that's why he said, Lord, Lord, what do you want? I mean, he knew who was calling him, right? It was very personal. What a story. The call of God goes to him. He says they had to lead him in town because he's blind at this point. And the Spirit of the Lord keeps talking to him. And he said, hey, I'm going to bring a man over here. It's going to pray for you. He speaks to Ananias. He says, I want you to go down Straight Street. I want you to go to this house. I want you to lay your hands on this man. Are you getting that? I'm so sick of Christians thinking that God doesn't speak to us anymore. Let me tell you something. God can tell you to go out of this driveway, go 3 miles this way, turn right on this road and left on that road and go to this mailbox and put a check in it. That's my address, by the way. No. I'm telling you, there's preachers but people that I know that felt like they were supposed to go to the grocery. They went to the grocery, picked up milk and bread and things like that, put it in their car, and they said, God, I didn't need this. He said, it wasn't for you. He said, well, who's it for? He said, drive. I'm serious. He drove. He said, now go down this street. And he turned this way and went down the street. He said, no, go down that street. And he said, stop in front of that house. He said, now go knock on that and take those groceries. They got a baby in there that needs milk. And they don't have any money. Knocked on the door. He said, I got some groceries for you the Lord told me to give you. And he said, we have nothing in this house to eat. And our baby is starving. God says that he would care for the sparrows. Are you following me? Not all callings are from behind the pulpit, but all callings are of God. God spoke to Isaiah. Isaiah said, then I heard the Lord asking, whom shall I send as a messenger to the people? Who will go for us? How did Isaiah answer it? Here am I, send me. Dale has a t-shirt like that, right? Just says, send me. Caught so much attention in the airports. People would see that and stop him and ask about that t-shirt. Acts chapter 13 says, one day these men were worshiping the Lord and fasting. The Holy Spirit said, appoint Paul and Saul for the special work to which I've called them. In other words, they were all together praying and fasting, and the Spirit of God spoke to one man and said, separate these two and send them out. This was their first missionary trip. The call of God is bigger than you. I'm not talking about ministry anymore. I'm not talking about the fivefold ministers anymore. I'm talking about what God has called you to do. It will be bigger than what you think. Whatever God calls you to do, if you think you can do it on your own, that's not God. If it doesn't scare you a bit, that's God. The call of God is so big that you can only do it if you go to Him. If He helps you accomplish what He is calling you to do. He wants you to be dependent upon Him. Esther thought she was answering a call for a beauty pageant. Think about this. Well, yeah, I'm pretty lovely. Right? She had no idea what God was bringing her. Or she had no idea God was in the picture. I don't think she did anyway. I don't think Esther knew one iota that God was moving her through the channels to get her in a position. But on the day that her uncle spoke to her, he said, it's for such a time as this that you have been brought into the kingdom. You may be working at Walmart and you may think this is a dead end job. Well, let me tell you, if you surrender that to God, it's God's dead end job. You may think all you're doing is bringing up. Are you following me? It may seem very mundane, but when God is in it, there's a purpose that God has for you being behind that cash register that you don't understand. You must listen to Him. You must be attentive to the voice and the Spirit of God. So that we don't miss the moment. Esther could have missed the moment. She took 3 days to fast and pray. Remember that? And finally, she realized, I really believe it took these 3 days for her to understand the gravity. It wasn't about being the queen. It was about saving her people, God's people, from annihilation. God calls men, women, and children. You do not need a denomination to acknowledge the call of God. Amen. We were having a conversation with our family time before last, and my son, Matthew, he always says deep things. He said, I think that when we get to heaven, God's going to say, really? You had to talk all that time on debate all that, whether God calls women to preach? Why did you not debate the call of go ye therefore? Isn't it amazing how Satan gets in our ranks and he makes us major on the minors? Hey, let's not worry about who else is called. Let's worry about what calling you have. Amen. I've seen a lot of stuff. God called a woman to come into the earth. He could have come another way. If he could be born of a virgin, he could have come down in a starship, I guess. I don't know, right? Are you following me? Who met him at the tomb that says, go tell the disciples? It was a woman. Why was it not Peter? Should have had a man do that. But it was a woman. The first missionary woman. It was Phoebe. Are you following? I'm not here to preach about women preachers. But I'm tired of the nonsense. Now you may agree with that. I don't care. I really don't care. You're still welcome at this church. See, you can come to this church and be wrong. We're all right with that. No. Joel said, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Philip, the evangelist, had four daughters that were prophets. Right? In Romans, the last chapter, I think it's 16, Paul just starts talking to people about everybody that's helped him in the ministry. You know, about half of them are women. Hey, tell Phoebe I said this, do this. I'm telling you, okay, enough is enough. The call of God demands surrender. Jesus said to the disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him, number one, deny himself. Two, take up his cross. And three, follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. When Abraham was an old man, he had waited for 25 years to get this promised child that God had promised him through several different things. I believe Abraham loved his boy maybe more than anybody else. I mean, he'd waited for this son. And as the son was getting older and older, the son began to take a prominent place in his heart that I don't think he was supposed to ever been there. And God challenged that. And God said, Abraham, I want you to take that son. I want you to sacrifice that son. The Bible says this, early the next morning, he got up and he saddled his donkey. He took his fire and the wood. He said, come on, son, we're going to go to a mountain to make a sacrifice. See, the Bible tells us about the call and the next morning. What he doesn't tell us at all is about that night. Can you imagine that night? I just told you that we had the vacation from hell. But that would have nothing to do with that night. To use the word agonizing, I don't think would be adequate. You said there was another story in the scripture about a man who went through a very tough night. We call that the crucible, the crushing. You know, there's times in our life when you go through things where God is, it's not the devil, it's God. Are you getting it? God will crush you. God needs to crush us. Do you remember that this man was in an old olive grove that he called the garden? Called it the Garden of Gethsemane. And the Bible says that he sweat drops of blood. For years and years and years, people would say that's not possible. But scientists about, I don't know, 50 years ago said, oh, it is possible. It's a rare disorder, right? Where the capillaries, not a disorder, but it's a rare thing that happens when the stress gets so bad, the capillaries in your forehead will burst and you'll begin to sweat and the blood will begin to come out. He was under so much stress that Jesus began to sweat drops of blood. Do you remember his prayer? Not my will, but thy will be done. I believe that Abraham went through a very similar process the night before he got up and saddled his donkey. I believe that Abraham fussed on the Lord. I hope that's all right with you. This is a little bit in my mind, I know. So you don't have, you're not going to find this in scripture. But I think it makes totally good sense. I think Abraham said, I don't understand this. I waited 25 years and you call this my promised seed. You told me, you gave me promises over this boy and now you want me to kill him? This doesn't make any sense to me, God. And I believe there was quite a bit of dialogue that I doubt very seriously there was any sleep. You ever go through some nights where there is no sleep to be had because God is dealing with you and you are going through a crucible and we don't like it? There's nothing in our flesh that pleases that, right? This is not a night that pleases your flesh. It's about a night of surrender. And I'm telling you, there's too many Christians in the church that don't have any nights like this. God is not just calling fivefold ministers. God's calling every one of us. And you ain't need to surrender to the call of God to go and speak the word of the gospel of life. Abraham, he may not understood, but I think as he surrendered, he got up the next morning. He got his boy together. This boy could have took him, right? Abraham at this point is probably about 117 years old and Isaac 17. I'm pretty sure Isaac could have took him. There was as much faith on Isaac's part as there was Abraham's part. He said, Dad, he said, we got the fire. We got the wood. But where's the lamb? God will provide. It's where we get Jehovah Jireh, the Lord. Do you realize that? See, it's in that crucible of life. It's in the crushing of our will where God reveals himself in a way that we would never know if we didn't allow, are you getting this? So sometimes we go through very difficult times in life, and you know what our desire is? Get me out of this! That's all we can think is, Lord, deliver me! And I think sometimes this Lord is saying, don't miss the moment. Esther was in a place where she knew only one of two things was going to happen. He's either going to kill me or he'll listen to me. And I'm not sure which one. The three Hebrew children went before the king and they said, our God can deliver us. But if he doesn't, we still not bowing to your God. Are you following me? There's things that you learn during those difficult moments that you cannot learn on the mountaintop. The Bible says, James says this, he said, count it all joy. I get so sick of that verse, I hate that verse. I don't want to count difficulty as joy. That's not human, but it's divine. Does that make sense? See, all I want when I go through difficulty in life, all I want is deliverance. I don't like being sad. I don't like being hurt. I don't like being sick. I don't like it. Well, you know what? Jesus didn't either. Not my will, but your will. Have you ever thought that possibly the more important thing or the more intelligent thing when you're going through difficulty, if you just shut up and quit whining for just a moment and pray, God, are you trying to teach me something in this? I think if you listen closely, you might hear this. Where God slaps his forehead and he finally got it. God wants to teach us. God loves us. Oh, you're not going to like this. God loves us enough to let you be miserable sometimes. Oh, you're not going to hear the prosperity preachers talk about that. They're not going to tell you that God will lead you into difficulty. But he does. Why? Because you'll learn. You will learn something of the grace of God that you never knew. It takes full surrender to do what God is calling you to do. And God has a calling for every person. Some of it, from what I've been praying for about 2 weeks on this sermon, I believe that God is calling some fivefold ministers in this building. So I didn't know who would be here today. I didn't know who's watching us online. But I know as I prayed, God said, include them. Include them in this altar call. You're not too old to answer the call. I was 50 when I started pastoring. When I left the Senior Citizen Center, they put in the paper that I was retiring. I'm not retiring. Taking a different job. You know? You're not too old. You're not too dumb. Wisdom says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Would you stand with me? Now I'm going to tell you, you cannot preach a sermon like this without giving people a chance to respond. This is a sermon you have to respond to. Not everybody, but if the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart, if you're feeling that unction, God is calling you to do something. Not necessarily a fivefold ministry, but God is calling you to come out from the world, be separate, and be my man. Be my man at Walmart. Be my man at the hospital. Be my man at the working for the city. Right? I believe God calls accountants. I believe God calls nurses. I believe God calls garbage men. Are you following me? Why do we limit it? God has a calling on you before you were you. God knew what he wanted you to do. So the first thing I would say, wherever you're at right now, please listen. Number one, stop complaining about it. Are you listening to me? If you really want God to use you, you got to stop complaining about where you're at right now. Matter of fact, I'll just go ahead and throw the second part of that. You probably, if you've been complaining about it, you really need to repent and say, God, forgive me for complaining about what you have brought me into. You know, the Bible says the steps of the righteous man are ordered by the Lord. We only usually say that when good things happen. Rarely do we get in a hellhole somewhere and say, oh, steps of the man are ordered by the Lord. Thank you, God, for leading me into debt. Hallelujah. Right? We don't do that. We think God only leads us into great and mighty victories. Stop complaining. Start rejoicing for where God has got you at the moment. See, I believe even if this is a spot where God's going to move you from, you gotta find that contentment in that before he'll move you. Does that make sense? Did I make sense? Say, well, I can't find contentment. If you'll start praising God for it, you may. The heart of the kings is in his hands. That's your heart. You're a king. Did you know that? No? Stop complaining. Start praising him for it. Surrender. Deny yourself. Take up your cross. Follow him. If God is speaking to you this morning, would you step out of your chair? Would you come and just stand along this front? I think you'll probably need to stand close because I think there's a lot of people that God is speaking to. Come quickly because we're going to fall in behind you. Now, church, don't you look at these people and say, well, there's a minister and there's a cashier. No, no, not your business. Are you listening to me? Not your business. All these people are doing is saying, I'm going to live in a place of surrender. That's all you're doing. God, whatever you've called me to do, I surrender my will to your will. If you can use this is what I prayed. See, I had such a low self-esteem, still do to a certain extent. I thought, God, I'm an idiot. But if you can use this idiot, you go right ahead. And then the Lord reminded me that he spoke through a jackass one time. And I said, okay, God, I understand. Here's another jackass you can use, God. My wife loves it when I say, I'm in trouble again. Those of you, would you follow in behind them? Especially if there's somebody up here that just is touching your heart. Would you step out of your chair and come in behind them? Lay your hands on them. Now over here is a minister of the gospel of grace right here. Licensed minister with the Assembly of God for 40 something years. He's in this line because he believes that God's got something new for him. Something better than he's ever done before. I'm all right. Ain't nobody. You're not too old. Let me go through another one. You're not too wicked. I don't care how many times you've been married. I don't care how many bad decisions you've made. Who am I speaking to? I know I'm speaking to somebody. And you think you're disqualified because I've made too many wrongs. God says you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old has passed away. All things are new. And don't you disqualify yourself when God is calling you for something. Randall, you need to step up here and pray for your daughter. Heather, both of you, get up here. Get around your daughter. Father God, I come before you right now, Lord Jesus, and I have delivered the message that you have given me. And I believe, Lord, there's a lot of people, Lord, that maybe in the last few months of their life, it's been like the night that Abraham had. They've been talking to you and maybe been fussing at you a little bit. And God, I believe there's been lots of questions in the hearts of minds of these that are up here, God. Like, what in the world are you doing with my life, God? Why am I at this point in my life? What are you doing? But I fully surrender to the will of God. I say right now, I am yours. Send me, God. Send me. I don't care where it is. I don't care what you've called me to do. If you want me to stay in a menial job all my life, I will be your man in that job. God, I surrender to the call of God. I surrender to your will. I'm going to quit trying to figure everything out, and I'm going to accept it by faith. And my prayer is going to be, God, these feet are yours. Take them wherever you want. Use this voice of mine to preach the gospel however you want me to preach it. I am here answering the same call that Isaiah did. I'm saying, here am I. Send me, God. We surrender, Lord, right now. I pray right now that the Holy Ghost would set upon us, rest upon every person, God. You know, Lord, you know that are fully surrendered. Rest upon them. May the peace of God come in and rest in their soul so they would know, now I'm ready. I am ready to do what you have called me to do. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, there are those fivefold ministers up here. God, I believe there's a few of them that everybody in their life have said, no, that's not you. But this call keeps coming back. This thing just keeps coming back. And they can't get away from it. And God, they surrender right now. They don't care what mom and dad says, grandma and grandpa. They don't care what their best friend says. We're not looking for the approval of man. Lord, we answer to one person and one person only. We're surrendered to Jesus Christ. And all we want to do is when we step from this life to that life, we want to hear the words, well done. Well done, my servant. I pray, God, for that person. Lord, anoint them, lead them, guide them. And God, show them the path that they are to go through and to do. In the precious name of Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Can we just rejoice? Hallelujah. Father God, we bless your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God took 11 or 12 men and changed the world. Look here. What could we do to Paris? Amen. Where's Brother Denny at? I need to pray for you. Is this Wyatt?
This is Wyatt.
Yeah. Okay. I'm sharp like that. Father God, I come before you right now, Lord. I thank you for this young man. God, he caught my attention early in the service. Lord, I don't know, and it's not my business to call anybody. But God, I can tell his heart is fully yours. I pray right now, Lord Jesus, for his ears to hear the voice of God more than any other voice that's speaking, more than his own voice, God. Let him hear the voice of God. God, open up heaven for him. Lord, I don't say don't let him go through hard times. I say bring him on, God. Just walk with him through it. Let him understand. But I pray right now for a heavy anointing of the Spirit of God to rest upon my brother and for a brain change right now. God, help him, Lord, to accept things by faith and not try to figure everything out. God, I pray, Lord, that he would understand quickly, not to be totally analytical, but to walk by faith and to let his words be seasoned with salt. God, I believe that this young man is going to lead lots of souls into the kingdom. I don't know how that will be, but Lord, I pray right now, give him the nations as his inheritance. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah.
I just have to show you something real quick. You know, we have the Spirit of the Lord in here and great things are happening. If you have children over in the other building, I want you to know he's there too. The Lord is there. Great things are happening. During the service, as I sat down, they sent me this picture of what's happening over next door. There, do you have the second one also, Jonathan? And there, amen. Isn't that amazing? That's amazing. Glory to God.
For those of you that came up, as soon as you leave, the enemy's going to tell you that's no big deal. That's just a typical Sunday, you know. But you have to deny that. Amen. Don't let tomorrow just be a regular Monday, just like every other Monday. But when you wake up, ask the Lord, say, okay, God, I surrendered yesterday. What's new today? And expect him to answer, because he will. Amen. Don't forget Saturday street reach at 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 1 o'clock. An opportunity to exercise your newfound surrender. Amen. Raise your hand. Receive the Lord's blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Go in peace and serve the Lord. God bless.